Thus he made atonement for the dead, that they might be absolved from their sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to a New York Catholic Conversation. My name is Deacon John Catalano, and I am joined by my good buddy from St. Agnes on Long Island, Frank Alasia. Hey, Frank, how are you tonight?
I'm doing terrific, Deacon. How's everything?
Everything is good, and I'm glad that you picked this topic tonight. It's the subject of purgatory. So before we begin, let's define it. I mean, for Catholics, purgatory is the state of those who die in Christ's friendship, assured of their own eternal salvation, but who still have need of purification to enter into the happiness of heaven. So we believe it's real, but it's not a location or a static position, but it's a state of spiritual existence. So how do we think about it? I mean, what happens and why?
I think that's the question, really. What happens and why? We know it exists. And I have to go back to confession when I think about it, because when we go to confession, we're forgiven our sins and Jesus forgives eternal punishment, but there's still temporal punishment that still exists, things that we have to do to make up for what we've done. Now, if I could use an example of, playing ball as kids, you break a neighbor's window and he forgives you for breaking the window, but he says, you have to either pay for this or fix it. That's what temporal punishment is. And that's what's required of us.
All right. So in confession, we ask for forgiveness of our sins, and yet we're still given penance to do, as you said. But what about this purification? Is it fiery, painful? What about that?
Well, it is a place of purification, but the pains of purgatory, really, I mean, they've been debated throughout church history.
Right.
Many church fathers and theologians assume a physical fire, but biblical foundation for this is really inadequate. The church councils speak only of purifying punishments. And I think of one of the punishments as being the regrets, right? What are the saddest words when somebody dies, when you hear somebody say, too late, you should have done this when they were alive. You should have went to visit them. You should have forgiven them. You should have done more for them. Now, when you're in purgatory, you're regretting all the things you didn't do for Christ, that you didn't do for the least of his people, right? All the good I could have done, I should have prayed more. I should have listened more. I should have been more compassionate. I should have went to Mass more. I was told these things and I didn't do it. That coupled with the fact that, they don't get to see the face of Christ.
And
I think those are the regrets and those are the sufferings of purgatory.
I hear that. And now they can't do anything for themselves in that situation. So what about these people that have died? Maybe they weren't so nice to us. They've hurt us in some way. We pray for them too. Should we do the least little bit for them? What's the least we can do for people?
What you should do, the most you can do. And remember, the souls in purgatory at this point can't do anything for themselves except endure it. What we can do for them is we can say rosaries. We can have masses said for them. We can do all kinds of spiritual exercises for them. But like you said, the souls that we love and knew, some of my teammates, my family members, friends of mine who passed away, I pray for them all the time, but it's the people that you don't know, you offer up a rosary for some, they're the ones, according to St. Nicholas of Tolentine, who was the patron saint of the souls of purgatory, he said, those are the people who welcome you most loudly into heaven, because you didn't know them and you pray for them, because there are many souls who don't have anybody to pray for them.
Yeah, we celebrate All Souls Day every November 2nd, and that's when we remember all of the faithful departed who await the joys of heaven. And we pray as a church, we remember them as individuals, as you say, and we pray for those we don't know. We don't know who's in heaven and who's in purgatory at this point, right, Frank?
No. I mean, there's really no way of knowing that. But your prayers will never go to waste. Like if you're praying for somebody who's already in heaven, those prayers are going to be given, they're going to be given to somebody else. So you never really have to worry about something like that, you know?
Too often at funerals, and I've been at many where I've heard people say in a layperson's eulogy or in words of remembrance, ah, my dear mom, she's up there and watching us cooking meatballs and watching her beloved Mets. But that's not really what's going on.
No. That's not really what happens. That's stuff, you know, that people really don't know. They're trying to make somebody feel good or stuff like that. But, you know, there's nobody sliding into heaven. There's nobody playing golf. There's nobody playing golf in heaven. It's much more, you know, it's much more serious. It's when people talk like that, it's almost like disrespectful. I mean, they're trying to maybe make somebody feel good, but they really don't understand. The gate to heaven is narrow. That's what Christ told us. And right now, you know, the way a lot of people live, you would think it's the exact opposite. People think it's like
everybody's going to get in.
Yeah, right. It's not that easy.
Now there's this image in my mind of the crucifixion. Jesus is hanging on the cross. The good thief turns to him and says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus responds by saying, "Today you will be with me in paradise."
Right.
And that implies or demonstrates that it's possible for someone to go straight to eternal life with God, if that's God's will. Now that good thief was a very special person. He demonstrated something extraordinary, which was proclaiming Jesus as God while suffering alongside of him. But Jesus exhibits divine mercy. That's the moment when blood and water flow from his side, and he has the power and the will to offer divine mercy to those he deems worthy of it. And I think the church repeats that way through the apostolic pardon. It's an indulgence given for the remission of temporal punishment due to sin, and that's given by a priest, along with Holy Communion and at the last rites, right?
Very important for all those people out there who don't know that. That is very important to ask for an apostolic blessing for a loved one or a friend who you may be at their bedside when they're getting last rites. That's very important. But you talked about God's mercy. And don't forget, mercy is only extended when we're alive. Okay, when we die, now you meet God's justice. So it's very important to do these things while you're alive. A prayer, a mass, a rosary said when you're alive is way, way, way more efficacious than when you die. And you're depending on somebody else to say this for you. You know, I mean, you know, it's great, and that people do that. And the analogy I use is, if a man owes a great debt and dies, and his son pays that debt, his name is cleared. And that's what people do for us that's what people do when they pray for souls in purgatory. They're in effect paying that person's debt, but you don't want to leave it to that. You know, you don't want to leave it to that. You want to do stuff while you're here, while you have the chance. I mean, you've been told enough about it. You've been warned enough about it. Do it now.
It's important. And in the Old Testament, it says, therefore, Judas Maccabeus made atonement for the dead that they might be delivered from their sin. And in the Eucharistic prayer at Mass, the old prayer, the priest used to say, it is truly right and just and profitable towards salvation that we always and everywhere, etc. I used to love to hear that because that prayer works.
Yes. Yes, it does. The thing we have to remember is that you want to shoot for heaven. Okay, we've been given enough graces to avoid purgatory. The little flower, Saint Therese, said, don't shoot for purgatory. Jesus wants us in heaven. That's where he wants us. You know, and so many people, like, they want to be good enough just to get into purgatory, but that's not the way to love. I mean, think about it. Would you say to your wife, "What's the least I have to do that you'll love me?" You would never do that. So why would you do that to Jesus? Why would you do that to Jesus? I think that Saint Teresa of Avila also said, "To the measure you hope is the measure you will receive." Pray and sacrifice, carry a cross now and trust in God's mercy.
Nice. I guess it's a good point to talk about, you know, church militant, church suffering, church triumphant. We, the church militant, all of us on earth,
right,
you know, guided by St. Michael the Archangel, must constantly pray for the church suffering. That's all of the souls in purgatory, so that we may all emerge as the church triumphant in heaven with God.
Well said. Amen, Deacon.
All right, Frank. Love talking to you about this. And folks, if you, depending on your podcast platform, just like us or follow us or send an email at anycatholicconversation@gmail.com. anycatholicconversation@gmail.com. Good talking to you, my man. I'll talk to you next time. Thanks,
Deacon. God bless.